35. Transplantation. We would seek to encourage the believer by explaining the way in which our Father uses the old sinful life to establish in us the new righteous life. By faith we stand in the work of the cross for the Spirit's opposition to all that would hinder our growth. And by faith we abide in the Lord Jesus for the Spirit's accomplishment of that growth. We stand and He works. And so we look at progress. First, the downward progress. Before we can grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, as we read in Ephesians 4 verse 15, before we can do that, there must be a growth downward. A sturdy root system must be established. Naturally and spiritually, the underlying development comes first. The superstructure is dependent on a solid, subterranean foundation. Usually the believer is awakened and enhungered for true spiritual growth by an increasing awareness of the virulence and the power of the old nature. Most Christians struggle for years in the vain attempt to control indwelling sin. The result is an up and down life, a defeated spiritual life. A portion of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11, can give us a valuable light here. We read, "Always delivered unto death." One of the most effective but heart-rending applications of the death of the life of the believer is his realization of the sinfulness and the strength of the flesh. The story of the reign of this death-dealing nature overcoming the believer is entitled Romans chapter 7. Sooner or later, the Christian discovers that despite the fact that he is a new creation in Christ, he does not have the strength to overcome this old sin nature. The nature that would ruin his life and his testimony. On and on goes the losing battle, year after weary year. In Romans 7, verse 19, this is what we read. "For I fail to practice the good deeds I desire to do. But the evil deeds that I do not desire to do are what I am ever doing." Liberating light. But in time, in God's time, the Holy Spirit begins to enlighten the failing believer as the real truth about the reign of sin. We read in Romans 7:20, "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I as a new creation that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." This enlightenment is the beginning of the end of the reign of sin in the believer. The awakened Christian realizes that he does not have to submit to the indwelling source of sin, and that it is now an alien realm to him. He has a new sphere of life in which to abide. He can submit to the old source. He can choose to walk in its ways. He can, by carelessness, be overcome by its power. But he need not, and he should not. Some of the believer's sinful cooperation with the old nature is due to his inability to distinguish clearly between the workings of the old and those of the new. But the sad failure teaches him to recognize and repudiate the old man for what it is. His realized need develops his discernment and appreciation of the Lord Jesus' life within. A turning point. The Holy Spirit uses the pressure and process of death within to prepare for the development of the resurrection life. The believer sees that the sin and carnality so often experienced is now produced by the old nature, and certainly not by the new. He begins to value his freedom to reject the sin-producing nature via the work of the cross, to reckon himself to have died to the old man. Death now separates the old from the new. Philippians 3 verse 3 says this: "For we are the circumcision, separated from the flesh, which worship God in spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." This should be an encouragement. Our growing hatred of the works of the flesh ultimately causes us to stand clear in our liberated position in Christ. He gives us freedom by means of the cross and growth by the law of the Spirit of life. Now we know who is who. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. John 3 verse 6. The old man will never change. The old man will ever be sinful and produce nothing but death. Hence it must be cultivated and not coddled. We are to have nothing to do with the old and everything to do with the new. For neither is circumcision now of any importance, nor uncircumcision, but only a new creation, the result of a new birth and a new nature in Christ Jesus. Galatians 6 verse 5. Everything apart from our new life has been fully dealt with and condemned at the cross. Thank God we are new creations in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away in death, and all things are become new in Christ. These are the two basic truths that we are to lay hold of. We have been freed from the old and can turn from it to give our full love and attention to Him who is the source of the new. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. It is normal for the believer to want to grow up in the Lord Jesus, to become more like Him. But he does not at first realize how much his upward development depends on a deep and a solid root system. This the Spirit accomplishes by making us aware of our fleshly life within and the sin of our alliance with it. By such negative means, he brings us to the place of humility. Thus we learn the necessity of complete dependence on the Spirit of God, the Son of God, the Word of God, and our Heavenly Father who is the husbandman. We are being rooted and grounded for growth. So having looked at the downward progress, we now look at the upward progress. When the Holy Spirit has our root system well enough established, when we begin to exercise faith in the dying of the old life by the cross, and when we learn enough of the sin and the danger of trafficking with the Adamic life, then it is that he turns our faith to the true vine. We read in Ephesians 6, "And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." In general, Christians focus upon the death of the Lord Jesus. He died for me. But for the growing believer, his life must be the focal point of our faith. In Colossians 3 verse 4, we read Christ, who is our life. He is the justification of life, we read in Romans chapter 5 verse 18. Emphasis on his death gives assurance of the new birth. But what the believer needs is growth. Growth comes from life, from resurrection life. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Philippians 3 verse 10. My position is in him at the Father's right hand, and it is there that I find life and fellowship. Christians who dwell mainly on his death know little of life, of his life. Looking on him as our life, the Holy Spirit enables us to exchange the old for the new. We read in Colossians 3 verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed, that's recreated, and have put on the old man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. In Ephesians 4:24, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In this risen position, hidden and resting in the Lord Jesus, I am on the ground of growth, free to grow up in him. Oh, we read in Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Dead and crucified with thee, past beyond my doom, sin and law forever silenced in thy tomb. Passed beyond the mighty curse, dead from sin set free. Not for thee earth's joy and music, not for me. Dead, the sinner past and gone, not the sin alone. Living where thou art in glory on thy throne. Oh, if I unselfishly cultivate the old ground, there will be nothing but a grim harvest of wood, hay, and stubble. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Galatians 6 verse 8. But if I sacrificially cultivate the new ground, there will be an eternal life-giving harvest. For unless a grain of wheat fall to the earth and dies, it remains alone. It remains just one grain. It remains by itself alone. Oh, but if it dies, we read in John 12:24, but if it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest.